Good morning and welcome to A Balanced Life. My name is Doug Floro from MFB Wealth Management, my father's business, Wealth Management, and I'm your host for today. I hope you've enjoyed a great Christmas celebration. I just want to say thank you for taking the time to tune into WFYL 1180 today. So today we're going to be focusing on ministry as an important piece of a balanced life. In the simplest terms, ministry means to serve, and I'm very happy to have some servants here today. I have Ridge Burns, who's the CEO of In Faith, a non-denominational Christian mission organization located out of Exton, Pennsylvania. Ridge has authored 5 books on youth ministry. He's also a regular speaker for Torchbearers in Europe. He's been the CEO of 3 other large nonprofits over the last 28 years. So his background gives him a unique skill set and, most importantly, a heart for the lost people and communities that so desperately need the love of Jesus in our country. Ridge is joining us today actually from California, where he and his wife live, and blessed with 2 adult children and 1 granddaughter. I also have Andrea Graver, who is the Senior Director of Innovation at In Faith. She's been working both in the secular and nonprofit world, and she also has a diverse background in marketing, advertising, and design. And Andrea has a desire to see her community better understand who God is through the beauty of communication. Andrea and her husband live in Chester County, Pennsylvania. And again, they're passionate about seeing their communities change through the work and ministry opportunities they have just in everyday life. So, Rich, I believe you were on the air last month with us, but could you help our listeners who may not have caught you on that program understand more about who you are, what you do, and why you do it? And then also love to hear from Andrea, too.
Great. Thanks, Doug. Yeah, for the last 8 years, God has given me the privilege of leading a 200-year-old organization that has its DNA reaching our country for Christ. 200 years ago, a group of men set out from Philadelphia and really began to establish churches and Sunday schools and camps and youth ministries that really changed the course of our country. And during those early days, early 1800s, and even up until the early 1900s, we In Faith, which was then called the American Sunday School Union, was right at the forefront of what God was bringing to our country. And so it's been a great challenge to be part of that ministry. We've changed our name to In Faith, as we want to really make sure people understand this is a faith-based ministry. It's faith in Christ. It's faith in the body of Christ to be all that God wants us to be. My job is really simple, Doug. All I need to do is move the organization forward. And so much of my time is involved with prayer and helping our people live out their identities in Christ in a powerful way. There's about 200 missionaries stationed all around the country, and they do everything from hospital chaplains to youth community centers to gang ministries in Fresno, California, to refugee ministries in South Florida. Some amazing kinds of things that take place, and that's what we do at In Faith. And Andrea gets to tell the story in creative ways, so I'll let her tell you a little bit more about herself.
Excellent.
Thanks, Ridge. Yeah, we have just in September launched a new initiative called Reach Local, Change Lives, and it basically speaks back to our roots, our DNA, where William White started seeing some street children who couldn't read or write and were orphaned. And he wanted to change their lives through teaching them Bible stories. And so he gathered some of the local politicians and people of means who could feed into books being written and drawn with some very simple etched pictures. And those volumes carried us through into the 70s, where we published books to help young people start to read. And the Sunday school was then established. To now, with our Reach Local idea, where every community can be reached through somebody who has a heart for their community or something that they're impassioned by. We have all different kinds of local reaches, from inner city, as Ridge mentioned, where there's children's programs and church programs, all the way through people who have been incarcerated coming out, and there's ministry with people that are helping people who have been incarcerated to live better lives. And the Reach Local idea really touches any type of community, any possibility based on somebody's heart, life, and call. And so we're seeing an influx right now in the ministry, and that's part of my job, is to oversee the expansion or recruitment effort at the mission, and also the communication effort to share about all the stories and things that are going on where people can plug in, the opportunities where people can plug in and take part with us as a covering organization.
Well, that's exciting stuff. You touched on so many things. It's making my mind spin around, think about all these different ministry opportunities that are out there. And just reflecting back, if I have this right, about the history behind it, it was kind of a revolutionary idea, the whole concept of Sunday school, which in modern America people just kind of take for granted. At the time, it was revolutionary because it was just thought that you would learn this naturally in the home from your parents. But William White had that heart for kids that were street kids that didn't have the opportunity, and of course he wasn't the only one, but launched that just reaching out to those that didn't grow up in Christian homes and have that background. And
yes, that's so true.
Okay. A couple of these ideas, I mean, how do you bring it all together? You went from gang ministry to Sunday school to reaching those that are incarcerated. What drives the local responses? I mean, there's got to be the passion. I picked that piece up, but how do you organize all that stuff?
Yeah, Doug, many organizations have a formula. This is how you reach. This is what you do. This is how you reach into people's lives. There's a set of materials, maybe a school that teaches you the format. We don't do that. We don't have that. I think it's a good plan. Certainly I'm not against that. But we really rely on the Holy Spirit to spark an interest in the hearts of people, and then they come alongside us and they say, we have a dream, or this is something we'd like to do, or we feel like God has given us a heart for. I'm going to use the example of the Eitzens, which are in Fresno, California. They have a heart for gang members.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they look like she looks like a soccer mom and he looks like a soccer dad, you know, taking her kids to AYSO. But they have a heart for the gang. And so they've infiltrated the gang to bring peace, and because that's their heart. So we came alongside them and said, okay, how can we help you financially? How can we help you spiritually? How can we provide a covering for you? So each one of our people have a covering, which is a field director that takes care of them. But before they even get on the field, we vet them carefully to make sure their heart is right and we can feed into their passions and, you know, their spiritual giftedness and their identities.
Do you work with local churches also in some capacities, or is it mostly individuals, would you say?
I would say it's mostly individuals. Some of our people are pastors of rural churches. Because the mission has at its core and its roots, rural ministry, and they're reaching the frontier, I mean, literally on horseback, we still have a fair amount of rural ministries around the country. And some of those rural pastors are itinerant pastors. They may have five or six congregations, and the congregations may be, you know, 30 people or less, but they are their pastors. And in many of those places, there are no other churches in town, so we are the only gospel outreach at that time. So mostly through individuals, but linking closely with the local church.
Okay. Andrew, can you explain the nuts and bolts somewhat of how you communicate, how you keep everything tied in, how you keep everybody accountable? Because I imagine there's a lot that has to be organized and managed there.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We feel like we've grown by ideas, and so that has been an interesting management challenge at times. You know, how do you keep everyone connected and able to share and feeling covered and well cared for? And a lot of our people are very maverickly oriented, I'd say. They enjoy the autonomy of having sort of their own kind of ministry and yet having their field director call them monthly. And so they do a quarterly report where they share a story or a testimony or something that God's doing on their own heart with home office. And then that monthly connection with their field director. And then there's a quarterly or a once a year area, what we call an area fellowship, where the area and the regional part of those missionaries get together. It's sort of a smaller format with a whole family kind of thing. And then once a year we have a national conference. And that conference is oriented to just help our people, our missionaries, come in and be refreshed and be just immersed in the Word and in prayer and just relaxation time.
Oh, that's so important.
Yes. And so we've seen that without trying to micromanage them, but allowing them to live out their calls in fulfilling ways, in the ways that they feel like God is calling them. And then, you know, of course, we encourage them very much to have people around them in their local church that they're accountable to, and to have a body that is their church home, that isn't, that they aren't just out there on their own, so that there's different types of touch points that we have with them. Would you add anything to that?
Yeah, Doug, let me share a story with you. There's a town in Nebraska called Kearney, Nebraska. I'm going to guess a town of maybe 30 to 50,000 people. It actually has a branch of University of Nebraska, Lincoln. They have a branch there in Kearney. Years ago, there was a man there. His name is Jim Wilson. Jim Wilson was kind of a town drunk. And he was, I've seen a picture of him kind of laying on the steps of the city hall with a wine bottle in his hand. And God got a hold of this guy about, I'm going to say, 15, 20 years ago. And he is on fire for Christ. And so his goal is that nobody in Kearney will turn out like him, except through the person of Jesus Christ. And so he has rallied the troops. He now is on the city council. He is on, they built a community center for kids. He works with the University of Nebraska to bring redemption. That would be a good story about how we work at In Faith. I loved what Andrea said. I've never heard her say it before. We manage by ideas. Mm-hmm. And it's true. God got a hold of him, and his idea was, I don't want anyone to have to do what I did to know Christ. So I'm going to build a safety net, a place of refuge, an oasis, so to speak, which was this community center. And that's how it works. And, you know, obviously, and we help them help them accomplish that. We give them the tools. We resource them. We stay in touch with them. We love them, care for them. And when there's problems, we stand with them. So that's how we do it. But the big deal, Doug, is that a person is touched by God to do something, and we are going to help them get there.
How does a Jim Wilson find In Faith? I mean,
good question.
Because he's out in Nebraska.
It varies. Yeah. Well, you know, everybody's story is a little bit different. Right now, we're trying a lot of different avenues for people to get to know us. We have seeded into a lot of job boards where we share out concrete opportunities that we've found throughout the country through our field directors who will send in opportunities, and then we kind of, you know, work with them to develop them, and then we put them out online. So that's one way. Another way is through word of mouth. You know, our missionaries talk to different people who have been connected with the mission and the ministry. And then a lot of people just use the internet. We find a lot of people coming to us even through Google searches looking for some ministry opportunities in the United States.
Yeah, and Doug, I would just add to that. You know, the traditional ways an organization like us have recruited people, you know, with colleges and conferences. Mm-hmm. We still do that, but I'm not there anymore, Doug. I'm not there anymore. I know this is going to sound a little mystical. I don't mean it that way. I just think I am so in tune with what the Spirit of God is doing these days that I just pray that God would miraculously arrange for people to connect with one of our missionaries or somebody who is one of our donors. We have 12,000 donors.
Wow.
A lot of people who connect with us. And that God just networks it together, and it just happens. And, you know, I'd like to say we got this great, and I need to be careful because Andrea's on the line. She is in charge of our communications. She does do a great job. But I like the Holy Spirit a lot better.
I agree.
It works better for us. And so that's where I'm at. I think it's important for your listeners to hear that there's a wind. There's a wind, Doug, that's blowing across our country right now that we need to catch.
It's desperately needed, and it needs to be caught. You're right.
And I feel it. I feel it that there's a stirring going on in the church and in parachurch organizations and in individuals that says, you know what, it's one thing to say America needs to return to its roots. That's a good thing, I suppose. But what's better is the people of God need to be the people of God in our country sharing the good news so that the people of America become Christians. And I think there's a huge stirring going on. I want to be on that wave. And so I commissioned Andrea to help us articulate that wave.
That's outstanding. I am a numbers guy, and you mentioned 12,000 donors, and I know you can say the numbers don't matter, and then I always say, well, God wrote a whole Bible called Numbers, so numbers do make a difference. And how many missionaries do you support that you have in your network?
About 200, right now, about 230 total.
Okay.
And so we, you know, a lot of our missionaries rely on the faithful support of people who give $10, $15, $20 a month. It's awesome. It's a great network of people who, and again, I know you're in wealth management. I heard your bio briefly, you know, at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we love to do is put people who have means but don't have the time together with where their passions are. And that's what we see happening within our donor world, within our development world, is a real marriage between the missionary and the work. The problem is, Doug, as you know, it's getting harder and harder for people to raise their support and raise their money. So that's some of the issues that we're taking on.
Absolutely. The model has changed. You know, 50 years ago, people would go to Bible college or whatever, graduate, go out in the field, and die there, you know, and they'd be supported by a local church. Now, you have to go out and raise support, and you have to have some sizzle and sell it to a number of different churches or organizations to raise your support. And maybe you're that guy who's just really good at fixing up a maintenance guy, fixing trucks and equipment for a ministry, and he doesn't have a lot of sizzle, but he needs support too. So I think this is just great where this is a way other than getting out there and selling yourself, so to speak, as I've seen so many self-supporting missionaries have to do.
Yeah, the model is changing, and the local church is, in some really cool ways, only supporting people who are part of their church. So the itinerant missionary struggles. But, you know, Doug, God is big.
Yes.
God is mighty, and I just love people like you who are involved in wealth management to help your clients, put them in touch with people who where their passions are being expressed. We see that all the time in our ministry. And so I the model is changing. We got to think about it. The length of time people spend on the field, it used to be for a lifetime. Now it's probably 3 to 5 years.
Right.
It's a changing model.
Yeah, another change in the model that I've noticed, I have the privilege of working with some folks that had the good corporate job, and they get into their late 50s, and their kids are grown up, or maybe they never had children, and they said, you know what, we're ready, we want to go out in the field. And they do, like you said, you know, a 3-year, 5-year, 7-year, whatever kind of ministry, much later in life. Have you seen any examples of people like that?
We do see that mostly. But interesting, I was interviewing somebody the other day. He worked for UPS,
mm-hmm.
and he's 51 years old and is retiring.
Yeah,
and he's going, you know, what I really like to do is drive. So he's thinking about ways that he can, you know, kind of travel around the country and help some of our missionaries with building projects and those kind of things. So we see more and more second career people.
Yeah.
We also see that those donors who you just described, that profile,
mm-hmm.
really looks to the ROI, the return on investment for their donation. So one of the things that we need to do and are doing in our ministry is to make sure that our numbers are right and that people who have wealth and want to invest in our country can have confidence that those dollars go to where they are really supposed to go and not just high-level management. And so those kinds of things are something that we as an organization hold very dearly.
Yeah, and that's another change that I've seen in the model, where some people felt their most effective way of using their dollars was to give it to the professionals, so to speak, those huge Christian organizations. And I'm not going to name names, but I'm sure a half a dozen pop into your head. And they do a good work, but there's something about the passion of an individual that is led by the Holy Spirit, whatever that mission may be, and you just named a couple of them, and to fund that has such an impact on individual lives.
Great. Hey, Andrea, talk a little bit about the Edingers, because I think it really fits into what Doug was saying.
Yeah, the Edingers have been doing children's ministry with, for several years, and were just started to look at their giftedness. Well, Rick, who is the husband, started to look at his giftedness after he had a run-in with a single lady who was in a parking lot and couldn't start her car. Mm. And it was a snowy night, and you'll see the video on our website. We've done their story this year because it was just so compelling. So he had helped her, and she was just so blessed by the fact that he was willing to, in a snowstorm, use his talents to help her fix the car. And he started to pray about it and felt really like the Lord would have him look at this in a more, like, everyday kind of way. And so he started to share the vision with us at one of our national conferences. And we said, keep praying about it and then just start talking to people about, whatever it is that the Lord would lay on your heart. And so he started to feel like he was to raise up a garage in his backyard and big enough with a lift. And he started to talk about local churches. And he said he's had several hundred people now come around him. They've built this garage, put all the tools in it. They're working on a lift now so that he doesn't have to crawl under the car. And this has been all community funded, where they saw the dream and the vision and the idea of having this type of ministry in their community. And so all he does is fix cars right now for single moms and widows and that can't afford it, and just for the cost of parts.
He loves it, that he's being used by God. It's something that he loves to do.
He does, absolutely. He just cries talking about it. Like, it is amazing to hear him speak about it.
Still remember, I have this one picture of Rick. He's holding up a wrench, and he says, I got a wrench in one hand and the Bible in another.
That is great. Now, your ministry is exclusively United States or North America or global, or what is the big tent?
We are only in the United States. That's our distinctive.
Yeah.
Doug,
yeah.
We only serve domestically.
Yeah.
And that really is the lower 48 states. That's been our DNA, and I don't see that changing. We've had opportunities, but I think it's time we turn our hearts to our own country.
Absolutely.
Allow ourselves to see ourselves as missionaries to our own people.
That's great. We're going to be running out of time in a little bit here, but one thing I wanted to talk about before we also talk about how to get in touch with you is the importance of financial stewardship. It's important in the work that I do. It's important for a Christian ministry to do it. That balance between the faith and the finances, of being transparent and accountable. I love on your website the way that you have numbers there and percentages and pie charts and things like that. That to me is important. You hear about these charitable quote organizations that you can't see through what's going on. There's thousands of quote ministries out there, and they can have a great story, but they may not be good stewards of what God has blessed them with or called them to do. And so I think, the reporting, the transparency, the accountability is just so important.
Well, ECFA is important to us. Mm-hmm. Evangelical Council for Fiscal Accountability is important, as we're a charter member. I'm impressed with ECFA. Recently, they did an audit on us. They have kind of a rota of organizations that they look into every year, and we just happen to be one of those, not for any particular issue or problem, but just because that's how they hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned some things. that we can do better.
Exactly.
Wrong, but I love that idea of just open and no secrets. It's helpful to us.
Well, the last thing I want to do is to keep you guys a secret. So how about sharing with our listeners how they can get involved with In Faith, whether it's being one of your thousands and thousands of donors or one of your missionaries?
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. There, we've kind of boiled it down to three ways. You can give or pray or join. We would love if everybody could be a prayer partner. We are seeing a sweeping change across our nation because of the prayers of faithful people. And as a first touch point, you can go on our website, and there's what we have is our bi-monthly Reach Local newsletter, and it tells about opportunities to serve and things that are going on in our country. And as a basic step to get involved, you can just sign up for that. And from that, pray with us over the needs in our country and in your community specifically. And then you could think about giving. All of our stories, or most of our missionary stories, are on our website. You can read through the many, many opportunities and then go to our Give page and select their name and give, or give organizationally in faith. And as we've talked about, the stewardship is very good within our organization, very transparent. And so your dollars go very directly to helping the ministry of individuals all across our nation. And then lastly, to join, there's opportunities, as we said, listed online for the open fields right now that we have. And if you have an idea that God has just embedded on your heart and you don't know how to start a ministry in the United States, it's very difficult to start a nonprofit Yes. yourself. And so as an organization, we come alongside of those people who have dreams to serve here in our country. We would love to hear your ideas. Our front door is our expansion coach. His name is David Fuller. And just sending in an email via one of the opportunities or going to info, that email will get forwarded to David. And we would love to partner in any way that God is laying on your heart to serve here in the state.
Great. And your web address again is?
InFaith.org.
Pretty simple. InFaith.org. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to our listeners today. It is exciting. God is alive. He is moving. And it's just such an important part of our lives. And I thank you from my heart for what you're doing, and pray the Lord continues to cause it to prosper. So thanks again to all our listeners for being honest today with The Balanced Life. Doug Floro signing off for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
Oh, my pleasure.
Be the center. Be my source. Be my life. Jesus.
Hello and welcome to The Balanced Life. I'm Kim Kennedy, your host for today. We're so glad that you're with us, folks. We're talking about, in the month of December, a balanced Christmas. Easier said than done. And we're glad, very glad always, to have Dawn Cotillo with Be Balanced Hormone with us. Dawn, hi, how are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Folks, for those of you who aren't familiar with Dawn, she's been with us all year, visiting on a monthly basis. Dawn's been in the health field for over 25 years. She is degreed and certified in health and nutrition. Her start was in corporate fitness, then she progressed to fitness management and running a women's weight loss center. Dawn currently oversees the operation of the flagship Be Balanced Center located in central Pennsylvania and fulfilling her more primary role as hormone/hormone health consultant for all the franchisees going forward. And Dawn, before we get into our topic, I know that there's a couple of franchisees that have opened up right here in Montgomery County.
Yes, we're super excited. We have one in Bluebell, and then not too far away, right up that pike, and you probably know the name of the pike better than me, is the King of Prussia location.
It's right on 202, folks.
Yes, yes. So they're close by and they're doing well. They started, they were going to start in October and ended up not really getting open until November and had their open houses. So they're doing well. And it's kind of a weird time of year for a weight loss center to open because you're thinking, well, who's thinking about weight loss? We're thinking about eating. But that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, about why we weighed and what can we do about it now? Do we always have to gain that extra weight? And, you know, those are the things we'll discuss this time of year. So
yes, control. It's hard, but it, you know, you have to do it because January comes and you're all depressed and down in the dumps, and it doesn't mean that you can't have some fun. It just means you have to be balanced about it. Is that right, Dawn?
Yes, that is the key, being balanced, which isn't always easy, like you said, this time of year. So as we talk about it today, I think we'll maybe come up with some answers and some ideas just to maybe shift this holiday season and not make it the typical one that we just feel bloated and bad and, you know, we wait till January to do anything about it. So,
well, what are most people in for this holiday season as far as their weight goes?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of a misnomer, and even I kind of thought this being in the field that people gain like 5 or 10 pounds over the holiday season. And really, when you do more research with statistics, which is what I like to do before I actually present a stat, is that really it's only a couple of pounds. I think it looks, as far as fat goes, it looks and feels like more, which obviously is important to us when we look in the mirror, because it's a lot of fluid retention and a lot of bloating. And that kind of, you know, if your stomach's sticking out and you're feeling bloated and you're retaining fluid, you're going to feel like you gained 5 to 10 pounds, but really, it's only a couple pounds. But either way, most people go into the holiday season feeling bloated and heavy, and then going through this, it makes it actually even worse.
That's interesting, because I would have thought you were going to say like 20 pounds. I was really surprised to hear that.
And it could vary. It could vary. But I think a lot of it is, and we'll talk about this, as people eat more carbohydrates, people don't realize carbohydrates would be things, you know, like the cakes and the muffins and the cookies and the candy, things we don't usually eat as much of, but they're there in our offices all the whole month of December. They're there at, you know, when you go to your mother-in-law's for the Christmas dinner. There's just a lot more stuff. And when you're, you know, trapped in a room talking to people all day, you know, for Christmas season, you'll just tend to just put more of that in your mouth. I tend to do that. Carbohydrate has the word hydrate in it, and hydrate means water. So it was meant, carbohydrates were meant for us to hold on to fluid, which is quite interesting because back in the olden days, the only carbohydrates they had was fruit. They didn't have, you know, I'm talking about way, way, way back, you know, and people would tend to eat more fruit in the summer because it was the only time the fruit was available. And I think God designed it this way because when you eat like extra fruit, you become what's called slightly insulin resistant and you would put on more fluid and some fat. The good thing about that was supposed to be, that was meant to be, so their blood pressure might go up, they might gain a little bit of weight, so that throughout the winter, if their family or their, you know, the man of the house couldn't get food or water to them, if they were starving for some reason out on the tundra or whatever, they would have this extra fluid to hydrate their body, or they would have this extra fat to live off of. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. It's you need it more in the warm months than you do in the cold months. And so, you know, obviously you're sweating more. Does that fit in with the scheme
of
things?
Well, we sweat more in the summer, but we're actually, what it was meant to be is fruit and, let's say, sugars were only really available in the summer. This is until we went to an agricultural society, and then we, you know, we had flour all the time, and we were making grains and things like that. But back in the olden days, the paleo days, so they would eat more fruit, and that would cause them to put on more fat, hold on to more fluid, so that throughout the winter, September through, let's say, April or March, they would have this available to them in case they were starving. But the problem is, in our country now, in a modern society, we have sugar all year round,
yes,
plenty of sugar, and more sugar. We have alcohol, we have caffeine that messes with your blood sugar, we have all different types of snacks, and most of them are carbohydrates. So now we have high blood pressure all year. We gain weight all year. So that's the problem we're in, whereas back in that day, the sugar served a reason. Now we're abusing it. Let's just say that. Does that make sense? We're kind of abusing the use of carbohydrates, not for their main purpose. Therefore, around the holidays, you know, let's say December, November, we're really putting in extra fluid, and therefore these extra sugars, therefore we're gaining even more weight as far as fluid goes. It's not necessarily all fat. Eventually some will convert to fat. So we might gain maybe 3 or 4 or 5 pounds of fat, but we might look like and feel like we gained 10 pounds because we might gain like 3 or 4 or 5 pounds of fluid as well.
And does,
so that's why I was just trying to clarify, and that's mainly from the carbohydrates.
Yes, thank you for doing that. And I'm wondering, as you talked on, the type of carbohydrates we consume today, are they different than what they were years and years ago? And is that a good or bad difference?
Well, really, I mean, some people argue that the only sugars we should be having are fruits and things like that. Then we got into grains, and then we became an agricultural society, and the wheat and things like that. So think of it this way. Fruit and vegetables, or certain vegetables, you know, higher in carbohydrates too, like sweet potatoes and things, they're going to be probably the best for you. The next level down, which isn't quite as good, would be the grains. But at least grains are real things that grow in the earth, like rice and oats and things like that. So they're going to have a little bit more effect on blood sugar, a little bit more weight gain effect. Couscous, white and brown rice, like I said, any type of oats or any type of grains, and there's so many different types of grains. But then the worst one is for our refined carbohydrates, and that's anything made with flour. And that's when we take wheat flour, and there's better flours, oat flour and things like that. We refine it, and then we bake, you know, muffins or bread, and that's the worst because it causes the blood sugar to spike, messes up our insulin, causes cravings, causes the most weight gain. And think about what's in cake, what's in cookies, what's in crackers, what's in muffins. It's all flour. It's not whole grains. So fruit and vegetables are the best carbohydrates. The next one down is grains, and then kind of the worst for us is the flour items. And then even worse than that, because holidays do involve alcohol. I'm not a drinker, but some people, you know, we drink around the holidays, wine or champagne. The worst is alcohol turns to sugar immediately. So that, I would say, is probably the lowest totem pole, and that is around more this holiday season. So
what do you recommend to people? Do you recommend that they abstain or just reduce? Or, you know, is it realistic to say that people aren't going to have, like you said, a toast of champagne, or they're not going to indulge in those cookie trays, just, you know, have a couple? What would your advice be?
Well, my advice would be, a lot of our clients, and probably maybe the listeners too, are women, okay, because they make more of the healthcare decisions. And usually women 35 to 65, 70, somewhere in that range. And a lot of them are already struggling. That's why B-Balance is around, to even maintain their weight or lose weight just normally. Forget the holidays. Just normally they have a hard time because they have some hormone imbalances, which I might touch on depending on the time we have today. So they already have that. So then they're kind of discouraged, like, I can't lose weight. This is terrible. So then going into holiday season, they can kind of have an all or none type of attitude, like, well, just forget it. I can't lose weight anyway. I'm just going to pig out in December, and then I'll try to figure something out for January, because at least the whole world will be trying to lose weight with me bad at that point or something like that. So what I'm saying is, how about we not have that attitude? How about we say, let's take care of our bodies and let's do things in moderation, and we'll even talk about what we do in a minute or two. I'll touch on the imbalances. We do something to be balanced. It actually gets women. Now listen to this. This is kind of a cool idea. Think of, let's just take the month of December. There are only certain days in December that are holidays, right? Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Your husband might have a work party. There might be a special thing. But we don't gain weight for just those 3 or 4 days. We gain the weight because the whole month, your neighbor's giving you a fruitcake, you know, uh-huh. You're a nurse, and in your office, the patients bring in pastries, and we take this attitude. So what I'm saying is, do it on Christmas Day, do it on New Year's Eve, whatever, have a toast, have a piece of cake, but the rest of the month, take on this attitude that I'm going to actually be maybe stricter, and I'm just going to avoid all those cookies because I know that Christmas Eve's coming, and I'm going to have extra. So we run something, and this is just a fun idea, but it can kind of translate to listeners, and anybody that's near Blue Bell or the franchise of King of Prussia can go in and do it, or obviously we're in Lancaster, we do it here, and Harrisburg does it. We have a black dress contest, and we say, you know what, get excited about the black dress you're going to wear on, let's say, New Year's Eve. Mm. So maybe buy one size smaller, or just have that and to look at that every day instead of just being excited about what you're going to eat the whole month of November and December, because we start this right after Thanksgiving. So it kind of changes people's mindset. So women are like, oh yeah, let me look at my dress I'm going to wear. Let me get excited about that and not just think about food, food, food all the time. So what we have them do, and listeners could do the same thing, is we have them start our eating plan, and they do it throughout the whole month. But what they'll do is they'll skip it on, you know, Christmas Day, or, you know, the Saturday the 15th, their husband has a work party, they'll skip it that night, or they'll skip it on Christmas Day or New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, and they will find, because our program is very rapid, our average loss is 15 to 20 pounds in a month when you get your hormones balanced. They'll find they're not going to lose 15 or 20 pounds, but they'll lose like 8 to 10 to 15 pounds the month of December. And who does that?
No, I don't know of anyone who does that.
Right. So it's almost like taking an approach. It's a balanced approach in one sense. It's a balanced approach that not every day we're asking them to be balanced. We're saying the days that you're not doing anything, no holiday, you know, December 10th or whatever, any of those normal days, actually eat stricter. Don't eat any refined carbohydrates. And of course, our plan is similar to this, but the listeners could do this. Just eat meat, fruits, vegetables, a little bit of fat, because fat's not going to hurt you. Butter on your vegetables is not going to hurt you. But don't eat any, like, candy, cake, cookies, anything with flour in it, bread, you know, anything. People know what that is, starchy carbohydrates. But then Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, go ahead and do that. And that mindset, they're like amazing. Like, I am they do so well that when Christmas Day comes, they don't have this mindset of, I've got to stuff my face. They have a mindset of, oh, my goodness, I've just lost a couple pounds here. I look pretty good in my dress. And then they'll be more moderate because they don't have that who cares attitude. I'll deal with this January 2nd. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And it really makes January not a month to dread, but something to look forward to. Not like, oh, my gosh, I have, you know, 50 pounds to lose. Maybe, you know, you just have 20 or less. A couple questions for you, Dawn. In the supermarket, you've got the diabetic section or the sugar-free section of their version of goodies, lactose-free ice cream, et cetera, all that good stuff. Do you recommend that?
Well, I think that it depends with the lactose-free stuff is if people have a sensitivity to dairy. Most people have a sensitivity to wheat. I'm going to be honest with you. So mm-hmm. I'll give you guys a quick test that you can take at home that tells you if you're sensitive to wheat or dairy. I mean, there's always little sensitivities to, like, some people have soy sensitivities. That's another hot one. Or what's another big one that people have sensitivities to? Dairy, wheat, soy. Sometimes they'll be sensitive to even certain fruits and vegetables, but that's more rare. But they're like the main three. So what you can do is you can, you know, wake up in the morning after you haven't eaten anything. Of course, you slept all night. Take your pulse. And most people know how to take their pulse at their neck or at their wrist. You can look that up online. Mm-hmm. And let's say your pulse is 70 beats per minute, and, you know, for the while you're sitting down in the morning. Then you can eat whatever food you're not sure of. Like, let me have a big thing of cheese, or let me have some yogurt or milk, or I may have a piece of wheat bread, or you maybe have a couple eggs or something like that, because eggs can be another one. Or I'll have some soy, whatever they want, just eat one food. Then wait a couple minutes, stay seated, and test your pulse again. And if your pulse goes up 5 to 10 beats per minute, it means that your central nervous system isn't happy with that food and it's causing a reaction.
Hmm.
Now, it's interesting. It's not, and we do this in our weight loss, Be-Balanced weight loss program, it's not an allergy. Because if you didn't go into anaphylactic shock, you would know by this age if you have a, you know, sensitivity to shrimp or egg, you know, I mean, you would know that. So this is more of a sensitivity. Because what happens if you're sensitive to a food, it messes up your hormones. And when your hormones get imbalanced, when estrogen and progesterone get imbalanced, you end up holding flat, holding fluid. You can't lose weight and you crave more. And then it affects your mood and your sleep. And that's not good either, because when you don't feel good, you tend to want to eat more. So have you ever heard of anything like that? It's just a little quick test you can do at home.
I have not. This is the first, I can't speak for anyone else, but I've never heard that before. And I dare say, based on what I'm hearing you say, that more people than don't have allergies to wheat. Is that correct?
Yeah, at least sensitivities. When someone's really bad, they'll call them celiac, and then they have to be on a gluten-free diet because gluten is in wheat. But, you know, a lot of people don't have celiac, but they'll have a sensitivity. And again, they'll say to me, oh, I don't know how sensitive I am. I'll try that test, but I know when I eat flour items, you know, bread or muffins or cookies, I will bloat up, and I know I'm retaining fluid. It's because the hydration, the carbohydrate, it makes you retain fluid. Whereas if you ate meat all day, I'm not saying you should do that, but if you ate a big steak for dinner, that would not cause, sometimes protein actually causes you to excrete fluid. So it's interesting. You can eat the same amount of calories of a big steak, maybe even with some fat on it, or the same amount of calories of a big bowl of pasta.
Well,
and you will end up, you know, gaining with the pasta.
Well, Dawn, what about, I've heard it said that unrefined wheat in its natural, I guess, the true whole wheat, whole grain wheat is good for you. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Well, a couple things. There's so many hybrids out now, and that's the problem. They're taking food and they're crossing it with other foods, and they're causing different hybrids, and they're actually it's an actual adulteration of foods. So they do this now with corn. They do it with other fruits and vegetables, but I know they definitely do it with wheat. And so that's why it's not even the pure wheat that they used to eat long ago. So there's a higher chance of you being sensitive. So that's the problem. So if you can get non-GMO products, genetically modified products, that's going to be much better. So if you're going to do wheat or corn or whatever, just make sure that it's non-genetically modified. That's number one. But still, it's going to, because the nature of it being a carbohydrate, it's still going to cause issues with you retaining fluid and things like that in general. You can never have it. It just means watch how much you have. Like, don't have a big bowl of pasta only for dinner. You know, you're going to want to have maybe meat and vegetables and maybe a little teeny bit of pasta, or maybe skip the pasta and just have it for lunch, or just have a little bit of rice or a potato would be better. So it's more making, like, better decisions. But I'm saying to do that on the holiday season. I'm saying to do it on the holidays. I'm saying to do it over the holiday season. Be extra strict certain days, knowing that you could be super excited that, oh, Christmas is coming. I'm going to bake those special cookies for my kids. That's kind of what I'm saying. Then the rest of the year, what I tell people to do, and I tend to do this, is, you know, right now it's January, more holidays, but maybe you eat stricter like that during the week when you don't still have really events and stuff, except once in a while something special, birthday party or something, and then indulge more on the weekends. Because you can't kill yourself and gain all this weight just by doing something Friday night with your husband or Saturday night. You know what I'm saying? Going
I
out
do.
To dinner.
It
so,
really
yeah, so, yes, it has to balance.
It sounds like you, along with everything else, well, yeah, I mean, be balanced. Finding that moderation. And do you find that your clients are able to do that, or are some better at it than others? And if so, why or why not?
Well, some are better than others, but with our client in general, because most people, I shouldn't say most people, but a lot of people know, like a bunch of bread and flour isn't good for you. I mean, a lot of women know that. I mean, that's all over, you know, Dr. Oz, all these shows, mm-hmm. in magazines, but why can't they do it when they desperately want to lose weight? And that's where the hormones come in. When your hormones are imbalanced, your estrogen and progesterone are imbalanced, which most women are, and that's due to stress. Stress causes cortisol to come up, and we'll talk about different types of stress. The holidays is a big form of stress. Cortisol comes up, it drains progesterone, it leaves an imbalance between estrogen and progesterone, more estrogen, and that's what holds on to fat and fluid. When you're like that, and that happens really close to when a woman gets her period, that's why she's super irritable or super craving at that point. When that happens, you don't feel good. You're more tired because you're not sleeping as good. You're more irritable, but you're also hungrier and you're craving more. So even though women know, oh, I shouldn't be eating this bread, they just crave it, and that's why they can't stick with it. So when we balance their hormones naturally, they then can take the other things we apply and look at them more rationally. They look at the bread and they say, okay, I probably shouldn't have that today. But when they're in balance, they're like, give me that bread or I'm going to die. I got to have that bread. So that's what we're doing. We're balancing them so it's not as hard, because cravings are common, but they're not natural. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Ton of people have them, because I'm thinking, why did God give us all these cravings? God didn't give us all these cravings. We messed up the way we live and what we've done to food that causes cravings. But once you get back into balance, you don't have that. You feel better. Now, not to say that you won't see or smell a chocolate chip cookie and want it. I'm not saying that. You're never going to hate chocolate.
But it doesn't control you. It doesn't dominate.
Right. And that's what we said, because women feel so discouraged when it's dominating yes. them. And that's mm-hmm. when they go to extreme measures to do whatever they can do to lose the weight. And if they just balance naturally. So like I said, we have our black dress contest, which is kind of a fun thing we do in our different centers that gets women to focus. But the principle, and people can contact us, and we're happy to help you with that. If they want to get started with us, you can even go on our website, bebalancedcenters.com, and there's a quick free hormone assessment, and it lists all these symptoms to see if you have imbalanced hormones, to show that that might be contributing to your inability to lose weight or your inability to stick to a diet. So we have that going. But these principles today, any person can do. Any person can say, I'm going to just eat meat, fruits, vegetables, and some fats, and just eat really clean during this month of December. But then on the Christmas Day and Christmas Eve and my husband's work party, I'm going to just indulge. And they will end up probably losing some weight. Not quite as rapidly as what we do, because we do some other things with it. But they will not come through this holiday season gaining weight, which is great.
Do you have a support network built into Be Balanced Hormones? And if so, how does that work?
Yes, people can call or email us at any time. Some of the centers do little support groups. We also have an online where people can go in and check in, and they can actually chat with each other online. So we have a couple of different things. Now, the funny thing is, with our support group, I used to do one here in Lancaster, and we're pretty big because we've been doing it for years. I ended up stopping it because people ended up not coming because they just didn't need it. Because we
That's
have
great.
Such a referral base now that a lot of times if you come to me, it's because your friend told you. So if you have a little, I just want to talk to somebody, you'll end up calling your friend. And it's sad because we love them to call us, but that we just don't have that anymore, where some of the new centers might do that. But when we have a bunch of people in an area, we get so many referrals because the results are so good that we just don't have that type of need to be like constantly coming to us for support. Now, they have questions, sure, but not like, oh, I'm having a terrible day, can you help me? We just don't have that because their cravings are down, the results are fast, and that keeps them motivated. Or if they do want to talk about it, they might call the friend that referred them, and it just is a fact that that's happening. So that's not good or bad. It's just kind of what happened here in Lancaster, and the newer centers might do a little more with support, but eventually they won't need it as well, which is kind of cool.
You know, Dawn, all along, as I listen, I've learned about Be Balanced Hormones throughout the year, is that this is not a diet. It's not buying food and having it shipped to you. It's not something you do and get off 9-10 months or so. This is a way of life. And it's really treating the root of the problem, but not the symptoms.
Correct. That's what we really want to do. We want women to get to the root and make them look and feel better. And when you look and feel your best, you're not controlled by food. You don't even think about it that much. You know, sure, at holidays you will and you'll see stuff, but you don't go crazy for it. Or even if you do, because some people, I'm the type that if I start eating like cookies at a party, then I want to keep, because even though I'm balanced going into it, if I start eating a lot of sugar, that's going to throw me off a little bit that day. But it doesn't matter, because that night I'm saying, you know what, have as many cookies as you want. It doesn't matter. Tomorrow I'm going to get back to my eating clean. And tomorrow when I wake up, I won't feel that great, and I'll be excited to get back to eating clean. So it's I don't want people to think that never can they indulge and have fun. Sometimes doing that sometimes makes you learn a lesson. You know, I was never a drinker, but I tell parents that, you know, nobody wants their kids to be drinking alcohol or in college or whatever. But sometimes having them do it once and then throw up is their lesson. Like, I am never doing that again.
I want to feel this way. Exactly.
Right.
Great point.
So sometimes lessons can be learned from us just learning them. No one can make you learn a lesson. So I don't know. That's just something to think about. So even the same thing with food. People are trying to feel better, and they're going to do whatever they can to feel better. So I try to go easy on them, especially when I know women especially have hormone imbalances. So we just say, you know what, I'm going to be forgiving to myself. God forgives us. We should forgive ourselves. I'm going to move on. Tomorrow's a new day. I'm going to start off, you know, and I always give the example, like if you start off the day having like eggs, let's say you have eggs, maybe there's cheese, vegetables, doesn't matter, but eggs, even bacon, you can go half the day without even thinking about food. You're running around, you're shopping, you're doing stuff. If you wake up one day and say, oh, I'm going to take my granddaughter to a place to have that's really bad. Let's say pancakes or something like that, which is pretty similar. An hour later, your blood sugar's falling. You're like, oh, I need something. Give me some Starbucks or give me some more, you know, candy or give me something. So that shows you right there the effect of blood sugar on your cravings for the day. It's pretty amazing.
It is. The body is so intricate. And at Be Balanced Hormone, you're teaching people, women, how to know their body types, know what's going on inside of them, and how to counteract that and maintain that balance. And that works itself out, not just physically, but you've said in their emotions as well.
Yes, yes. And the holiday season can be really tough. Women, people know that they're stressed because women, especially I'm thinking of, are doing a lot of shopping. They're doing a lot of cooking. Sometimes the attitude of having to do it all, we need to, you know, think through that too. Like, why do we have that attitude? We can, you know, our families are just happy to have us, you know, whatever. But there's also the stress of the first time this year that our pet dog isn't here with us. He just died. Or the first time that my grandmother isn't here. And so there's a lot of stress. The holidays put us under a lot of stress to make it perfect. And women feel that. But also the stress of it's the first Christmas without this person or this pet, or we move to a different house and whatever. So there's a lot of stress that way. And that can also make us feel bad. And sometimes women will turn to alcohol or excess sugar or whatever. So that's where I try to warn people that the holidays can be that way. I mean, they should be a joyous season, but sometimes they can be. So, and then you have that combined, that's emotional stress, all that emotional stress. Then the physical stress of then you put in more sugar, more alcohol, more carbohydrates, and that throws off your blood sugar. So you have two types of stresses, physical and emotional. And when they're all hitting you, it just people can just spiral down. And that's why we're saying you have a much more pleasant holiday season if you do less of that. Feel better going into Christmas Day. You probably won't eat as much anyway, and be excited about a special dress you're going to wear or something like that. And that kind of makes it a little bit more fun and changes the focus. And that's what we're trying to do with Be Balanced, because we know people aren't perfect. We just know that when people get results, they stay motivated, and they when they feel better, they make better decisions, which is pretty much what's always been.
In your opinion, do you think it's tacky for people to take their own snacks in their purse and substitute them for the cookie trays and other goodies that are going around at a get-together or office party or something else like that?
Well, no. Here's what I would say, especially like the women that do our program, just say normally, just say like in the month of October or something, whatever. When they're doing a program and they want to stick with it, and they're, I don't know, someone's having a baby shower this weekend and there's all not good food there, and they bring a little, I say eat ahead, and then just tell people you're on a detoxifying diet, or you don't want to say you're just on a diet because that annoys other people. They're thinking, well, I should be losing weight too now. Why are you on a diet? So I'll just say something like, just say to people, because sometimes they just need an excuse of something to say. So just say, oh, I'm not doing any white flour or white sugar this month. So I already ate, you know, you guys are good. I just have some tea with me. You know, you don't want to make people feel bad. You might use it as an opportunity to share, but I don't think that that's wrong to do. Well, it's not wrong to do or bad to do. It's up to you, because if you just spent money on a program and our program's pretty quick. It's like 1 month. So if you're like, I'm trying to lose 20 pounds this month, I can skip eating this weekend. And we always let people take a day off here and there if they need to. So no, I think that's good. I think that's unrealistic to think on Christmas Day you're going to bring bagged up carrots when everybody else is eating cookies. You know what I mean? That's not what I'm asking people to do. I do think that's unrealistic. But no, I think that's a great idea. Actually, it's good that you mentioned that people can think to do that. That's great.
Well, Dawn, you've really given us some excellent information, and it's balanced. It's sensible. And if we have folks who are listening who would like to find out more about Be Balanced to see if they can find a Be Balanced a storefront in their area, where should they go to find out more?
They can just go to Be Balanced Centers, all one word, BeBalancedCenters.com. There's a hormone quiz. There's educational information on there. It's not just a sales pitch to come see us. There's some good things they can learn. And then if they send in a questionnaire, we'll get back to them and help them. It'll go to the area that there's the closest center to them. So, yeah.
Okay. And you can find out where the Bluebell and the King of Prussia location is. We strongly suggest that you do this. This is by far the most reasonable approach to weight loss. We don't even use the word diet, Dawn. I know you don't use that, just way of life, being sensible and balanced.
Sure. That's basically how we like to approach it. Sure.
Well, we wish everybody a very merry and balanced Christmas. Dawn, we thank you for joining us. It's been great information. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks again, Kim. You have a wonderful holiday season yourself.
And you as well. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.